Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice to see you're still eating and enjoying your food. Good stuff. It's always nice. Breaks are always hard. They're always my dread in conferences.
Yes.
Because to get people back on time, it just doesn't work. I'm not sure how well we did, but it wasn't too bad.
Pretty good.
It's just a real joy for me to be here. It's been a number of years since I've been back with you, and though I've seen some of you at the conferences and so forth, so it's been sweet. The thing that, I guess I've got this, is it on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can start clicking through.
Okay. My title I want to talk about this morning is Let God Be God.
Hey,
Fred. Huh? Thought that'd be a good idea, don't you think?
Yes.
So why that? Well, my history, and I'm not going to give you the detail of it, but my history goes back to 1969 is when I met Jesus. And it was in October. I was at a prayer meeting that was interdenominational. And a prophet, a guy with the gift of prophecy, was speaking that night. It was a snowy night. I had brought five nuns and a lay teacher with me, and we sat in a YWCA in Westlake, and I sat there, and for probably 2 hours, all I did was say Jesus. I knew God, I knew Jesus, I knew His Holy Spirit. I was Roman Catholic, and I was a good Roman Catholic, and I believed in the Roman. God and I were good. But that night, I ended up meeting the Father, Son, and the Spirit instead of just knowing about them. And that's how I've taken that, because my upbringing was tremendous in the church, in the Catholic Church. I mean, I was not caught up with any oddball stuff. I just loved Jesus, and it was good. But that night I met the Father, the Son, and Jesus. But all I did that night was say Jesus, and that's all I could do because I was petrified. He ended up prophesying over people. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but as he's talking, he goes up and just lays hands on somebody and starts prophesying. I got out free. Never touched me. I went and got the car to get the nuns because the storm was bad, and got to the door, walked in to get them, and he's walking out and lays his hand on me. And so that was my first encounter with any of the gifts of the Spirit. And I think that night I was slain in the Spirit because I just fell back against the wall. I was close to the wall, and I just fell back against the wall as he was speaking for me. If everybody knows slain in the Spirit is just kind of going down without control. So that was my initiation. Then in January of that next year, which would have been 670, it was there that I let loose the Holy Spirit within me. And there's a lot of discussion about what that means. Some people call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's churches that call it the second blessing. All kinds of things. I'm not here to argue about any of it. I just know that when I got saved, I had the Spirit of God. But in that January moment, I knew it was like receiving a package and finally opening that package. And so I spoke about this 2 weeks ago at church, and I said, I feel like I loosed the Holy Spirit in my life at that point. Throughout those years, it's been now 69 is, I can't do the math. Been about 60 years, I think, somewhere. Been a long time that I've walked with Him, and it's been a pure joy, and we are totally grateful. Joanne and I have just had a phenomenal life that He brought her to me. And as tough as life has been recently health-wise, we're so grateful for all that He's done. Letting God be God, though, is, I think, the biggest challenge any of us ever live with. Because we're going to look at, I think God has far more plan for us than we have, well, number one, that we have any right to, but number than we have knowledge of. That God is not through with any single one of us, regardless of our age. He has more. Okay? And so I want to go through some of that. And if this all works. And I want to start because I want to talk about the power that we've been promised. It says in Luke 4:14, it says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the report about him went out through all the surrounding country. It's interesting because, and I had a tuning fork, I was going to try this, the tuning fork isn't loud enough to do it, but the tuning fork works because both tines vibrate against each other, I think is how it goes. Yeah, it looks like
that is guitar body.
Oh, well, I'm not going to ruin it. I'll talk about it. But there were a couple areas where I saw that in our spiritual lives. One is God. Because God is so far above what we can conceive of. You know, we can try to think about it. And I sometimes try to think, what is it like? He's not human. And we try to give him human personalities. We try to give him human qualities, which he's got all those, but he's not. He's above what we can even conceive of. And yet, the other side of that tuning fork is he is immanent. He is within us in Jesus Christ. He made us. And so there's that two dynamics that go on. I think we live pretty good, better at the high level, thinking of his how great he is and how awesome he is, and we lose sight of the internal aspects of his relationship with us and the power that is present within us because of who what Jesus has done for us and what the Spirit of God is there. We kind of separate those things. And so that's what I want to focus on is the power that is within you today, okay? Because of who Jesus Christ is, because of the Spirit of God. Acts 10:38 says, "Now how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with power, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Again, this dichotomy, this separation here, the paradox here is Jesus this time. We have God, remember, above we can imagine, and yet very imminent. We've got Jesus, God, and man. Okay? That's not a simple thing to think about. Okay? And I think we often combine them to say, well, it's a blend. And yet he came to earth as one of us, as a man. And so when we see things like this, as God anointed Jesus, it wasn't that God, that Jesus was half filled with the Holy Spirit at the time. It was God poured out his Spirit on Jesus. Okay? Jesus was a man. And we often think of the miracles he did as he did well because he did those because he was God. I think he did those because he was filled with the Spirit of God. And that was how he did it. And that's what we want to look at today, because that power is in you. If you know this, I mean, if you know Jesus Christ, you've got it. I like to say that's not the case, because I think sometimes we sit back and we're so weak and not that it's like, do we really? But that's what we're going to go into. If I keep all this straight, end of it. All right, this never fails. Where are we at? "Behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power on high." Sound familiar? Okay, this is a promise that Jesus made to his disciples to stay in the city until you have received what? Power. Okay. And that's important because the apostles did that. I just heard a guy who was speaking a book I'm listening to in my travel, and he said he thinks that the apostles stepped ahead of God when they chose the two to replace it, when they chose who to replace Judas, because they cast lots. And it's the only place they cast lots. Everywhere else, they listen to the Spirit of God. And so his argument was, he thinks that they didn't wait. You know, that they were impatient and made this decision. I've heard other teachings that say that's not true, blah, blah, blah. But in any case, the idea of waiting isn't one of our most favorite positions. right? Does anybody really enjoy waiting?
No.
It's patience is, the joke is don't ever ask, pray for patience, because you're going to learn patience. But the promise is that we will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And in Isaiah, the next step here is that we got this promise, okay? We're going to get power. We need to look at, though, what is key to that power. And part of that key is humility. Am I in the right one? In Isaiah, it says, "For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy," this Almighty God, "I dwell in the high and holy place," we talked about that, "and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." Humility is the one of the basic issues when it comes to the Spirit of God, because it's very easy to go the other direction, because I've got power, okay? And you've got power, and there are many things, but the Spirit of God says otherwise. It has to be humility. James 4:6 says, "But he gives more grace." Therefore, it says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." So the very first place we need to start when we're talking about this power is God is God, and he's above and beyond what you and I can conceive of. And we are his creation, and he loves us, but we are not God. And I think one of the arguments I come to, ever people ask questions. I just saw a story on Facebook, and I think it was probably a AI story about some kid who went to college and lost his faith because a philosopher asked these questions. Why do people suffer, blah, blah, and all that kind of thing. If we knew all the answers, we would be the idols. We would be God. We can't know all the answers because we're not God. And as soon as we think we've got all the answers, we're making ourselves God. And that, you don't want to do that. That's not something we want to do. We need to maintain that humility of acknowledging God's got all the answers and he knows it, and believe that he does. Now, there are some reasons we can get around it, but bottom line is, I do not know why my wife is in rehab right now. I mean, physically she's there because she had a bad shoulder, but everything else going on, I don't know. But I trust God, because he knows what I don't know. And I acknowledge I don't know a lot. So that's one of the things, that's part of that humility thing and trusting him. And then the power also comes in weakness. "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" Okay? My power is made perfect in weakness. It's not made when you're all haughty and build up and think you've got it all. And again, when we're talking about the Spirit of God, it's really easy to go there. If you have experience, and when I lived in Brazil, I was at a meeting with about 200 Brazilians. I don't speak Portuguese. I speak Portuguese a little bit now. I did not speak it at this time. And I felt God say to me, "I have a message for every single person here today if you'll do it." And I said, I argue with God a lot. And I said, "I don't think so." And I think, you got up and shared, and I kind of argue with God, because I felt like that was it. So I argued and I argued and I said, "Okay, if I tell Tom and he agrees, then we'll go forward." So I talked to Tom. Tom Padley's missionary down there, lived there years, fluent. He was going to be my translator. And he said, "Yep, Rick, I think that's right." And so for the next hours, I laid hands on every person there and prayed over them and had prophetic words for every one of them. And I have no idea where it came from. Oh, I do. But it did not come from here, because when we were all said, Tom said, man, you hit it all on, I mean, it was just right on the nose. Every people with marriage problems, you called it out. It wasn't me. It was the Spirit of God. But it's in my weakness, realizing I can't do this. And I don't want to do it. You know, there's that issue of it. But when God says to do it, it's okay to argue. It's not okay to say no. You know, you've got to find a way around that no. And so that's the weakness that we're talking about. You know, just understanding that I can't do it. I'm lost here. And that's when God comes through. Again, traveling in Europe, missionary work in Europe with the team, there were many times when I said, God, I can't. I'm not ready for this at all. And he doesn't care. You know, he just wants you to say yes. And as soon as you say yes, all of a sudden, everything changes. So the weakness, let's see. Again, in Zechariah, we read, then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Okay, it's not anything we're doing. It's by his spirit. Just a note on the slides. You'll notice that on the left side, I'm repeating all the slides we've listened to. At the end, if you are so moved that you want to study or go back to look at those, I'll make available a black and white with the last slide. You can pass on, Mike, as any way you want to. Okay? So that's what's going on there, just in case you are getting behind on it. Galatians 5:22, and this is a little different than the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, but it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I love that line. That is one of my nightly prayers that I say every single night. Because there is no law against those things. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what culture you're in. There's no law against those things. There's no law. However, those are character traits that every Christian should be I don't want to use the word working towards, because our faith is not a faith of works. But once you know Jesus Christ, these are things that should be manifest within your life more and more almost every day. And they're the things that will actually make you happy. You know, they're the things that will bring you peace. It says that. Some people would say, and I've heard this in teaching, that the love is the key here, that all the other words describe love. That works. And it has some ramifications for the word love. But the important thing is that this is what, as a pastor, and I pastor young guys, I pastor guys my age, that's what I want to see in them before I want to push them anywhere else. I want to see them growing in those qualities. I've got a couple of young guys I've mentioned from St. Louis. I'm trying to mentor them a little bit. And I'm looking for this in their lives. Did I change it? Sorry. And it doesn't come necessarily by works. It comes by surrendering yourself to the Spirit of God and letting that power we've been talking about loose within your life to change you. That's the hardest thing in the world, to change is you. You know, but that's what God has called. That transformation is what God has planned for us when we come to him. You know, it's that freedom. Everything here it's free. And it's a blessing. And it's powerful, because when you walk in that kind of thing, you become a light. Okay, we'll talk more about the gifts of the Spirit a little bit, but this has got to be first. And if I'm looking at somebody's ministry, if I don't see this, at least in some degree, and growing, I've got to question their ministry. Even if they're prophesying all over the place or healing all over the place, I'm not going to deny the healing. God is God, remember? God can do what he wants to do. But what I've seen and what I think he calls us to is that before we do that, we need to be having a character that is God-honoring and a blessing to people. You know, what's the biggest word going on today is be kind. You ever see, you got all kinds of things. There's a truth to that. There's a truth to that. And so I've been in places where Christians are absolutely the worst. You know, they're just not, they're not even kind to anybody. And yet you get outside the faith and it's even worse. I mean, worse. So this is important. Your transformation is the very first response, not response, but very first thing the Spirit of God wants to do within your life is to change you. Sometimes that's hard to take, but that's what it's about. In Romans it says, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, this is Paul speaking, okay, and he's giving, this is his testimony of his travel. And in that were power of signs and wonders, and power of the Spirit of God. So people are seeing and experiencing the power of God. Paul is experiencing the power of God, not just talking about it, but experiencing it. And according to this, from Jerusalem, and see, I think Jerusalem goes up to here. I think that way, I'm not sure. Geography's not my, that time period isn't best, but everywhere he's going, there are signs and wonders going on, okay? 1 Timothy says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. This is, when I think of the number of times I've said no to God, and I've said no to God, I mean, there's no question about that. This is the reason. I was afraid. I was afraid of someone or something or result I didn't want, and I said no. And yet it says, he gives us not a spirit of fear, but of power. When we say yes, we experience that power. When we say yes, the Spirit of God is loosed within us to do what's next. And we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be afraid. Are you going to make mistakes? I'm going to tell you right now, the answer is yes. But you don't have to be afraid of mistakes. Because God is God. And God can take what you see as a mistake and do any number of things with that. We have no idea what he can do with that. Zechariah says, then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by power. Is that a repeat? My spirit says the Lord. I thought I got all the repeats out.
Yeah.
Okay. Colossians, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthians. And he's telling them that you not lacking any gift that you need, that the gifts are there. And that they are there until the coming of the Lord, until he returns in glory. Now, again, there are other theologies that say the perfect that God is talking about, that they're talking about there, is the completion of the scriptures. There's some who that would say the gifts aren't for today. There's a whole Christian element, and I bless them, and they're brothers and sisters. But they see, as they read the scriptures, they say what perfect has come is Jesus and the scriptures. That when the canon was established for the New Testament, that was the end of the gifts. The gifts were given to build the church. And once the church was built, they're finished. I'm not in that category. I don't think table fellowship is in that category at all. But there are gifts available. And even they would say there are gifts, that they just wouldn't use the gifts that are listed necessarily in the scriptures. Galatians 3:5, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Too far? Not far enough?
One more.
Okay. I'm glad it's not, well, it is being videoed, isn't it? Oh, well. How many of you have experienced miracles? Anybody seen a miracle, been part of a miracle? Okay. I can remember This is back when most of you weren't born. Because it was probably in 69, 70, right in that period of time. We had a prayer meeting in my home that had about 60 young people, young college, high school kids coming every Friday night. And one night, one of the guys who came, this sounds really ridiculous now, but I'm going to. He had a leg that was shorter than the other one. It was about 1 inch shorter. And we checked it. It was. Sat him down in a chair. We prayed over him. I watched it grow. Now, that as I say that, that sounds actually a little off the walls. But I can't argue with what I saw and everybody else did there that night. Miracles work. Miracles happen. Why does not, you know, again, I look at my wife. Why has her shoulder not been healed? Because we've prayed for her. Or her lungs been healed because we've prayed for her. Or her stomach issues been healed or her back healed. I don't know. You know, I don't know. But I do trust God. And we keep praying. And we keep expecting miracles. We keep expecting life to continue. And I think that's where we start to lose it. We start to not believe God anymore when we've prayed and not had responses. You know, why, you know, young people who go home with the Lord and they've got 50 years ahead of them, 60 years ahead of them, you have some reason in the prayer, people pray for faith and it doesn't happen. Yet, others are raised up whole. Don't know, but the key is God is God and we need to trust Him and keep doing what He has given us to do. And He has given us that ministry of praying for the sick. Okay, this very clearly, we have that. The gifts of the Spirit, and these are the scriptures where you'll find the gifts of the Spirit, right here. I'm not going to go through the gifts of the Spirit. You can do that on your own. Most people will say there's 9, and they'll go up to about 23, if I've got my numbers right. The list in Corinthians is 9, but then towards the end of the chapter, they add a few more. And then Ephesians adds apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor. And then you can go to the Old Testament. I didn't put this one up there. You can go to Beelzebub, who was gifted by the Spirit of God for design and artwork and for the temple and some of the people around him. So there's other places and other gifts. I don't think the specifics are as important as acknowledging that God has gifted His church. He has gifted you. Okay? It's not the elders. It's not the pastor. It's all of us. That every single one of us has access to those gifts. And the only way that can happen is if we are willing to say yes to God in some of the most inconvenient manners possible. Okay? But that is what I wanted to share today, was like God be God in your life. Listen, He will give you instructions. Don spoke this morning, he said it. He will tell you to go, excuse me, to go pray for someone, to go to talk to someone. You know, and I can remember, there have been times I've done that, and you don't want to do it. It's embarrassing. It can be awesome. I mean, you walk up to somebody totally clear, don't know who they are. Never seen it before in your life, but God put something in your heart, and He's trying to get you to be that light that He's created you to be in somebody else's life. I just read just recently one where a wife was in a grocery store, saw some woman there, walked past her, talked to her husband, said, "I think God wants me to talk with her." And he said, "Well, if God's calling you, go do it." So in the middle of the grocery store, she goes over to her and prays for her, talks to her a little bit, prays for her. No response, nothing. So she left and said, "Okay." Didn't know what was going on. Sure felt like maybe it was wrong. And a few minutes later, girl came up to her in tears, sharing her life and what had happened and what was all about. And they were able to minister to her. Okay? So you've got this call from God. You don't want to do it. You do it. And then there's no response. Nobody does anything. And then you never know when it's going to come back. And they're going to be, that's it. That was right on exactly where it should be. You know? That should be our daily life, gang. These gifts that God has given us, that's the power that he has given us. It's the same power that he gave Jesus Christ. And Jesus promised for us. And one of the things that keeps the church, I think, small, quiet, and I'm not talking about you guys, I mean, we're a small church, but overall, is the fact that we don't want to do that. We're afraid of being embarrassed. I don't want to be embarrassed. You know, I really don't. But when God says to do something, we have to learn to hear. How do you learn? By doing. You know, if you're not doing it, you're never going to learn. How do I know I'm hearing God's voice? I gave you one example. I have two of exact same one, because it was at a prayer meeting before that the same thing happened to me. God said, I want you to pray for everybody here, and I have a word for them. It was only 20 people that time. And I said, no. And he said, yes. And I said, no. And I said, okay, somebody's got to agree. I'm not going to do this on my own. And so I said to the group, I said, I feel God is telling me this, but I have to have confirmation. And I'm saying that, the guy right across from me going, and I'm going, oh, no. And God had a word for everybody. You know? It means opening our mouths. It means taking the risk of being wrong. Not because that's what he calls us to. That's how the kingdom grows. You know? I remember years ago, again, sorry, all these examples are before some of you were born. We had a Bible study going at a beach up our way. And the one guy who was with us, he's not with the church anymore, but he was a bit of a radical. And so we're walking, trying to talk to people on the beach, talk to people up on the shore, and share, get a chance to invite them to a Bible study. So he walks up to this kid, and the kid probably was 17 or 18, walks up and says, he wants you, you know. That's all I said to him. And the kid said, I know. And they kept walking, and he stayed there and showed up at the Bible study 15 minutes later. Now, I have no idea whether that kid was saved that night, where he's at today. I don't know his name. I can still see him sitting on the fence and that happening. But it was a simple response. Kenny knew and said what God told him to. And the guy heard it and knew it. Okay? We need to have that kind of guts, you know, to pray. I know people who, and I was sitting at a table just recently, and I don't do this yet. Maybe it will come. We sit at the table, the waitress comes over, and the guy I'm sitting with says, well, how can we pray for you today? To the waitress. And I'm thinking, whoa, that's a little much, you know? And so she told us how we could pray, and we ended up praying for her. What's the outcome for that? I don't know. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, it could impact that woman's life. It could have impacted her that day. The key was, he did what God told him to do.
Right.
Okay, that's what we have to focus on. It's not the result. The results are not, we can't control results. All we can do is be obedient. You know, I am not in any way, shape, or form a sports person. Okay, I played backyard football and was terrible at it. Played backyard baseball and horrendous. So I've never done that stuff, but I do know that in watching all the movies that I've watched, that there are things that coaches tell kids to do that they have no idea why. The coach knows and gets results. And there's no answer other than you gotta trust them. And I'm saying to you today, that the gifts of the Spirit are yours to use to his glory, not for your ego, not for our ego at all, But it's there, and he's waiting for us to use that. And I would like to just challenge you as we go forth, as you go forth, and I don't know, I may never see you again. You know, I'm at that age where you never know what tomorrow brings. But I want to live my life saying yes to God, which means I've got to take my life and listen to God, and it means I've got to be willing to be embarrassed. And I'm hoping that in examining the scriptures, and I encourage you to go back and look at the ones I've given you, you know, find for yourself. But the key is find the Spirit of God in your life and let it grow. Let it change you. Because he wants you to. He wants you to change. He did not give us Jesus. He did not send the Spirit so we could stay the same. It was to set us free. Set us free to be his. Not to be our own. Not to be the old curmudgeon who sits on the front porch and yells at the kids running by. You know, get off my yard. Come on in, kids. Have a cookie. No, today that's probably not good either because... so many things have changed that way. You know, we were just talking. Used to be, I was one of those kids who was raised when we left the house. The mom, we're going to bike riding. Maybe we'll go to the park. Well, the park is 10 miles away. They didn't care. But it was a different time. Agree that. But God has called us, you, in this generation, at this time. In fact, the song we sang this morning, Father of Creation, unfold your sovereign plan. Raise up a chosen generation that will march through the land. I thought in 1972 that I was that generation. Now, we did some marching, I mean, not figuratively, through the land. That was the time of the revivals in the church. Some of you may have seen the Jesus Revolution, the movie that talked about Chuck Smith and the establishment of Calvary Chapel, big churches. There were things going all over the United States and the world at the time regarding Christianity and changing. Some people are saying we're in the midst of that again here. We just don't see it because we're not in that generation. But there are young people all over who are coming to Christ. There are thousands upon thousands, if not millions, in the Mideast who are coming to Jesus Christ because they are hearing from him in dreams, visions, and saying yes. You know, we need to say yes to the Spirit of God and to what he wants to do in our lives. None of us are done. Okay, I'm 78, and I know I can't do some things, but 3 years ago I went on an Amazon drill to drill a well and found out how much more I couldn't do, but I went. No reason. I mean, everything like that, they need people who are praying for them. They need people supporting them. They need people who can go. You can do it. Every single one. But we've got to be able to say yes to God. And it won't be comfortable. It's not going to be easy. But the results are glory. And God is glorified and becomes stronger and stronger in your lives. Okay? So... that's what I got for you today. Let's pray. Father, you are incredible. And your presence in this world, in our lives, is far beyond what we understand. And even, Lord God, as we look at the mess the world's in right now, that doesn't affect who you are. And how great you are, and how awesome you are, and how mighty you are. And Father, I would just pray for each one of us here that, Lord, we would learn to hear you, to first allow you to speak to the changes in our lives that need to be done, and then, Father, to speak to us about how we can reach out and change this world. And Father, we don't have to look to this, even the state of Minnesota, but just in our world, Lord God, in the area where we serve, that, Lord God, we could change that world. Speak to our hearts, Lord God. Show us what you have for us. And, Lord God, give us the ability to say yes. to step over that fear and to trust you and to hear you. And Father, ahead of time, we thank you for taking care of our mistakes, because we know as he's walking that, we're going to make mistakes. Right. But you are able to make great things out of even though our mistakes, Lord God. Make us a bold people in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 God bless.
Let's stand as we close.